You're listening to District Sentinel Radio. This is your nightly newscast featuring reporting from the left. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We're broadcasting out of Washington, D.C., out of the Sentinel Fort. Check out our website, districtsentinel.com. And we're recording a few hours before Trump is set to address Congress for the first time. It's a customary thing new presidents do in lieu of a State of the Union their first year in office. I guess we'll recap what he says tomorrow or if anything goes down. I will say it's going to be weird. I thought that watching Trump get inaugurated and take the oath of office was going to be weird as hell, and it was. Visually, it was kind of stunning. Him addressing a joint session of Congress will have that same visually stunning feel to it.
Especially if he goes off script and starts his "I'm not ranting and raving." That would be especially visually jarring, I think.
I mean, he's really bad at giving scripted speeches from a teleprompter. He just kind of stumbles through. He doesn't have the timing. I expect he will go off script at some point.
Well, either way, I'm hoping that someone interrupts him like Joe Wilson did in 2009 when he shouted, "You lie," at Obama.
Hell yeah, I hope so too. I was actually there in the chamber when that happened.
Oh, whoa.
It was my first year working on Capitol Hill as an intern, and I got tickets to go sit in the gallery. It was when Obama was doing his healthcare speech. It wasn't like a State of the Union or anything. It was a speech.
It was a joint session.
But talking about healthcare.
Yeah. But you know, there is financial incentive, of course, for someone to interrupt Trump. If Joe Wilson's history is any indication, he raised $1 million after yelling "You lie" at Obama. So too, of course, though, did his opponent. So it might cancel out, but. Either way, you know, they love getting their names in the headlines. So.
I wonder if just like non-politicians, just average folks invited sitting in the gallery could get $1 million by yelling "You lie" at Trump tonight. Probably could. They could probably leverage that if they use it right into $1 million.
Yeah, maybe we should try to get in, help out the Patreon.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, there's probably an hour or two to get us into that joint session of Congress tonight.
Or just,
willing to yell at Trump.
Or just yell "District Sentinel rules" during the address.
That too. Also, before we get to the news of the day, this is the last day of February, which means it's a good time to become a subscriber on Patreon.
It's always a good time to become a subscriber on Patreon.
Yeah, it always is.
But you're like those football announcers, like, "Oh, now it would be a really bad time for them to let in a touchdown." It's always a bad time.
Yeah, there's
to
a
let
bit of a salesman-y touch here.
Okay, sorry.
There is a reason to this, and that's because Patreon processes our payments on the first of the month,
I believe. Oh, yeah, I should have shut the hell up.
Yeah, so today's a good day to sign up. It's patreon.com/districtsentinel. $2 a month. Get your name on the Solidarity Committee, which we unveiled on the website today. The Solidarity Committee of everybody who's contributing, everybody who's helping sustain the operations here at District Sentinel. $5 a month, you become a subscriber and you get exclusive access to our weekly podcast for Patreon subscribers only. It's called the Sentinel Cast, and it's good. All right. Should we get on with what happened today?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday, February 28th, 2017.
Let's kick things off like we did yesterday by talking about Trump's budget. There's some early bipartisan opposition formulating around it, particularly around plans to slash State Department funding for a major boost in defense spending. Here's what Republican Lindsey Graham had to say.
It's dead on arrival. It's not going to happen. It would be a disaster. If you take soft power off the table, then you're never going to win the war. What's most disturbing about the cut in the State Department's budget, it shows a lack of understanding what it takes to win the war.
The criticism was echoed by Marco Rubio, who tweeted that foreign aid is, quote, less than 1% of budget and critical to our national security. Delaware Democrat Chris Coons, he also got in on the hammering, according to The Hill. He said, quote, "The aid we provide to countries around the world directly advances U.S. national interests by fostering a safer and more stable world. That's that liberal imperialism Marshall Plan 101 for you.
A bit better than the liberal cruise missile plan, but
this is true. I'm not so sure that the aid and the cruise missiles are necessarily completely segregated there.
No, they aren't. Mitch McConnell also said that the Trump budget outline is dead on arrival in the Senate if it includes that big of a cut to the State Department.
We should probably note that Mulvaney himself yesterday, when he trotted out the budget, said, reminded everyone it's very early in the process, and they're right now working on proposals for agencies, and that's not even before their final draft comes out. So they're probably seeing some of this and saying, oh, shit. But yeah, good luck passing that budget.
Let's focus here on Trump. He gave an interview with Fox News on Tuesday, and a couple things worth noting. First, he was asked about that botched raid in Yemen, which cost scores of civilians their lives, including women and children, also resulted in the death of a U.S. soldier, William Ryan Owens. The White House has claimed that the raid produced valuable intelligence. U.S. officials, though, are telling NBC News that that's not true, that the raid, in fact, produced no valuable intelligence. Trump was asked about that raid, the death of the U.S. soldier, and he blamed the U.S. military.
Well, this was a mission that was started before I got here. This was something that was, just they wanted to do. They came to see me. They explained what they wanted to do. The generals, who are very respected. My generals are the most respected that we've had in many decades, I believe. And they lost Ryan. But again, this was something that they were looking at for a long time doing. And according to General Mattis, it was a very successful mission. They got tremendous amounts of information.
Generals are troops. He just blamed the troops. Buddy, no, you don't blame the troops. Blame me instead. I can take it. By the way, this came the day, or sorry, 2 days or a day after that the dead SEAL's father, who's also named William Owens, this was after William Owens said that he did not want to meet with Trump and had some really harsh words for the president, too.
Yeah, Trump is making himself out to be, with that statement, one of the weakest presidents ever. And I don't think it is true that he's that weak, but that's how he's definitely portraying himself here. And he does it pretty often. The military strong-arming him into doing this raid in Yemen. His former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, negotiating foreign policy behind his back. Everybody's just leaking all around him. Speaking of the leaks, Trump had something interesting to say about that, too. He blamed Obama.
No, I think that President Obama is behind it because his people are certainly behind it. And some of the leaks possibly come from that group. Some of the leaks, which are really very serious leaks because they're very bad in terms of national security. But I also understand that's politics.
It's just politics? It's no big deal? I thought it was a huge deal at first. And plus, blaming Obama for the leaks is just hilarious here.
Yeah, Obama's like on the beach chilling. That's the photos we've seen of Obama since inauguration. I don't think I've seen one of him where he's not like windsurfing
or
something.
Yeah, or he's going to plays on Broadway or something. I don't think Trump was paying much attention either to what was going on during the Obama administration.
Yeah.
It wasn't too easy on leakers. Obama prosecuted more leakers than any president in U.S. history. He implemented executive orders and insider threat programs to better keep information and root out potential leakers. Worth noting, however, that none of those measures appear to have worked. New data released on Monday, thanks to a Freedom of Information Act request from Stephen Aftergood, who runs the secrecy blog at the Federation of American Scientists, shows that the DOJ received 37 allegations of leaks from within the federal government last year. 37. That's almost double the number in 2015, and it's on the trend line over the last 8 years, where there's been, on average, about 39 crime reports regarding illegal leaking submitted to the DOJ every year. As Aftergood noted, quote, "Evidently, there's a baseline of leakiness that persists even in the face of strenuous official efforts to combat leaks." Now, I'd expect those numbers to likely increase further next year, given all the attention on leaks in the first month of the Trump administration. In fact, Trump, during his press conference earlier this month, said he told the DOJ to start investigating the leaks. So that's at least one.
Yeah, and Trump will have President Obama to thank when he takes his template for indictments under the Espionage Act and just copies and pastes whoever he catches, assuming he's even competent enough to catch whoever's leaking this.
Yeah, enjoy the beach, Obama.
Yeah. Speaking of transparency, the Associated Press has uncovered communications which appear to demonstrate that EPA head Scott Pruitt lied to the Senate. While Oklahoma Attorney General Pruitt used private email to communicate with staff, through public records requests, the AP found a 2014 thread in which Pruitt emailed the staffer using a personal Apple account.
What? Who the hell uses a personal Apple email account?
Well, apparently a fucking normie loser like Scott Pruitt. These emails come on top of other similarly damning emails released last week after a FOIA lawsuit brought by the Center for Media and Democracy, including correspondence with an oil industry lobbyist. The AP said, quote, "That suggests Pruitt made his private email address available to professional contacts outside his office." While it isn't illegal for public officials in Oklahoma to use private email, Pruitt said he only used his attorney general address to conduct official business. This was during his Senate confirmation hearing. At one point, Democrat Sheldon Whitehouse even asked why he listed an Apple ME.com address as a business contact. "The ME address is not a business email address," Pruitt responded in writing. "I am not sure why it was designated as such." Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden reacted to the AP's findings, saying, quote, "The public must decide for themselves whether they can trust Pruitt when he can't even be honest about his email or his ties to the oil and gas industry."
Ron Wyden today also grilling former Senator Dan Coats, tapped to be the next director of national intelligence, over when he's going to release information on how many Americans are swept up into the 702 spying program.
Yeah, that's right. And we were speculating whether or not Ron Wyden himself knows.
Already knows the answer.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, I didn't think he did based on
what
you were saying about how the question was structured.
Right, because had he known the answer, I think he would have structured it like he did when he caught Clapper in the lie. Whereas instead of asking for the number, he asked, "Are millions of Americans, et cetera, illegally being spied on?" And Clapper just walked face first into that.
Meanwhile, the corporatists are in control of the Federal Communications Commission. The FCC's new chair, Ajit Pai, is taking aim at net neutrality rules approved by the commission 2 years ago. During a speech in Spain on Tuesday, Pai criticized the regulations aiming to protect a free and open internet, claiming that, quote, "The FCC decided to apply last century utility-style regulation to today's broadband networks." He added that net neutrality, quote, "wasn't necessary to solve any problems. We were not living in a digital dystopia." Well, at least not yet. Without net neutrality, though, that digital dystopia might be just around the corner, and IG Pi will be dragging it in.
Yeah, he was also bragging about dropping an enforcement action over zero rating, which is when phone companies will provide you certain data for free. Which, of course...
Well, he already did drop that.
Right. Yeah. They did drop that. But in Spain, in his speech, he was taking credit for it, saying basically like, oh, all these unlimited data plans, you're welcome.
Yeah.
So it'll be great when we were only beamed like crappy MSNBC or Fox News to our phone, data free. Thanks. That'll be great. Shit we don't even watch. Finally, turning to our new attorney general... Jeff Sessions has no indication of reversing his anachronistic views on marijuana prohibition, citing batshit claims out of left field on the issue. Politico reported on Monday that Sessions told reporters, quote, "We're seeing real violence around that. Experts are telling me there's more violence around marijuana than one would think, and there's big money involved."
Yes.
Is he talking about video games? Is he fucking talking about video games?
He might be referring to that nasty, bloody brawl you and I had the other day over the last few Cheez-Its in the box.
My face now is just recovering. The story did not make note of which experts have Sessions' ear and what exactly they said. Numerous reports have in recent years found zero link at all, none, zero, zilch, between state-level legalization and violent crime. But the attorney general claimed that links between cannabis legalization and violence are mob-related. "You can't sue somebody for drug debt," Sessions said. I mean, that the mob violence happens when it's illegal, as people pointed out in response to that claim.
Yeah, not much pop mob business in Colorado and Washington right now.
No, and speaking of dodgy claims, this came, by the way, the very same day that Sessions dismissed exhaustive DOJ reports which had found racist abuse of policing practices in Chicago and Ferguson, Missouri, of course, among other cities, specifically asked about those two cities. Sessions claimed the Obama-era studies were, quote, anecdotal, The Chicago report alone was based on thousands of interviews and thousands of records going over a span of 5 years. Sessions, by the way, repeated his anti-marijuana crusade today. On Tuesday, he told the National Association of Attorneys General, quote, "I'm dubious about marijuana. I'm not sure we're going to be a better, healthier nation if we have marijuana sold at every corner grocery store."
Hey, buddy. I'd like to comment on that here as someone who frequents my corner grocery store.
Yeah, well, also a word of wise for Foghorn Leghorn. We'd be a healthier, better nation probably if we didn't have booze sold at every corner store. But the federal government forbidding that didn't exactly work out either, did it?
I will say Sessions...
By the way, I'm not advocating for making booze hard to get or illegal or anything. I'm just saying, you know... Jeff Sessions is an idiot. That's all.
Trust me, we all know you're not doing that. Speaking of Sessions making spurious claims, this isn't the first time he's done that. And the Sentinel has caught him doing that before, talking about the refugee crisis.
Oh, yeah.
And when we approached his office about that, who did you talk to?
I talked to one Stephen Miller, now of Sunday morning extremely angry on TV fame.
The source of Sessions' claims was some like right-wing nationalist leader in Italy or something?
Yeah. Yes, it was. It was the leader of the Northern League in Italy. His name eludes me at the moment. But it was in a Wall Street Journal article that was basically reporting what the far right was saying about refugees. And yeah, somehow this made it into one of Sessions' speeches, and that and a Daily Mail article was what Stephen Miller, who now has the very close ear of the president, that's what he'd sent us.
Sessions, man, he's got those sources. He's got all those sources. All right, that's the show today. Call and leave a message anytime at District Sentinel Radio Listener Rant Line. That number is 202-684-6108. Before we go, sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jennifer Briney. Check it out at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor of the show, levelnews.org. And you, too, can become a sponsor by making a monthly contribution over at our Patreon site. That's patreon.com/districtsentinel. You can read all of our news stories and listen to this episode and all other episodes of our nightly newscast by going to districtsentinel.com. If you haven't yet, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud by searching for District Sentinel Radio. You'll hear from us tomorrow. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.